This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to Thanksgiving week. How are we all doing on this Monday in New York City? Evan and Tiki on The Fan. There's a ton to get to. We have an update on the Jets search for a GM and head coach, how they may be looking into the past to get there, all the fallout from things that were said after yesterday's Giants game, including Malik Nabers. But Tiki, I ask you this, because I'm just a guy, I'm just a dude like everybody else that sat in front of my TV on a Sunday afternoon watching a football game, and here's how I interpreted what I saw yesterday, and you tell me if you agree, disagree, I'm an idiot. That looked like a team that didn't want to play football on a Sunday afternoon.
Huh.
That looked like a team that, I hate to use the Q word, but it looked like a team that quit. It looked like a team that was so angry about the Daniel Jones cutting or benching that they didn't want to play football. And what we witnessed was a sheer embarrassment, especially for those that trekked their way to MetLife Stadium. Am I crazy?
Well, I mean, to me, it looked like a team that was distracted. It looked like a team that, first of all, on the first drive, defensively, they couldn't get off the field. Tampa Bay Buccaneers just marched down, and it took 8.5 minutes, or however long it took. But it was interesting because I was in the break. Andrew and Jason and I were talking, and I said they just made Tommy DeVito's reentrance into this starting lineup extraordinarily difficult.
No doubt,
it made it five times more difficult because the last thing you can afford is to go 3 and out. Or is to get knocked off the field quickly and give them the ball right back, especially after the defense was on the field for 8.5 minutes. And so, obviously, we know what happened, and the Giants, from that point on, never really recovered. So, I'm not going to make excuses for this team, because it is your responsibility as players in this league to get yourself ready to play, regardless of what's going on around your team, in your clubhouse, with your coaching staff, whatever. But this was a highly distracted week. I can't even, like, when I'm thinking about what the Giants went through this week, it's hard to, like, focus on football. Like, what were they talking about in that locker room? It wasn't, you know, how do we take advantage of this Buccaneers porous secondary who have struggled for the last 4 weeks. It was, oh man, I feel for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is still my number one. Yeah, he's great. I don't understand what's going on. Like, all the questions in the conversation was about Daniel Jones. It was about what's the future of this organization? What's Tommy DeVito's role going to be? Like, it was so many things other than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who were also desperate and focused in their bye week, whereas the Giants were very distracted in theirs. That was my immediate takeaway after leaving that game and calling that game. They didn't play like they have played for a lot of the season. Good football. Maybe it comes down to 4 or 5 plays in a game. You give up a big one here or there, but you play sound fundamental football. They didn't do that much at all
yesterday. They got their ass kicked in every aspect. They were bad at every aspect.
Right. Which is an anomaly to what they've done for most of this season.
It's an anomaly, but to me it looks so bad because you're coming out of a bye, mm-hmm. you've got a coaching staff that made a quarterback change, and to play like that, that's the response? That's the response of a team that basically tuned out their coach, or a team that's pissed off at the front office. And, like, here's the way I look at this, because I know some Giant fans are going to pick their spots. They're going to blame Brian Daboll, they're going to blame Joe Shane, or they're going to blame the players. I think they're all a mess. I blame everybody. I think the excuse of the players being distracted over their friend being benched, I think that's soft as hell. Well, I blame them.
It's not even that. It's just this team, this is one of the youngest, if maybe not the youngest team in the National Football League. And so these kids have never seen this. They don't know the business of the game. They don't know what it's like to get completely turned upside down on your head in the middle of a season and still have to go perform. They're not used to this. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I could sit here and scream and yell and get upset and say, Dave sucks and these guys suck and they're soft and they quit and they always... I understand why it happened. And so it just is what it is. And I feel bad for everyone, the organization, for John Mara and all of the Mara and the Tisch families, because that was embarrassing, man.
Yeah.
Tampa doesn't travel. You were getting Bucky chance in that stadium yesterday. That's Bucky Irvin, by the way, who was a running back for the other team.
Yeah.
Who was fantastic.
We saw plenty of them as a
receiver.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel bad for the players because that was embarrassing. Like, when your boys call you after a game, most of them didn't make it from high school or college to the NFL, so they're peeping you out on Sunday. They're going to call you up after that game, and it's, what conversation are you having? Hey, man, at least you have next week, right? That's what it goes
to. It was embarrassing, but what do we blame for the embarrassment? See, to me, it's everybody. Like,
it's everybody, and it's everything.
It's everybody, and it's everything, and I thought of you while I was watching this game, because I got to be honest with you, anyone who sat there for 3 hours, whether you're at MetLife Stadium or you're at home, you're watching this game, you're disgusted, and your brain goes to a million different places. It goes to the place of, oh my God, this coach is done. It goes to the place of, oh my God, I want to blow up this roster. But my brain went to the place of Tiki warned us. That's where my brain went to. Tiki warned us. Because last year, when Sean and I and Lugie all screamed and yelled, they have to trade Saquon Barkley if they're not going to keep him, you warned us about something.
Mm-hmm.
You said, but what will it do to the locker room? And so my question is, especially after observing the garbage football we watched, and this is not an excuse, this is analyzing the situation. Did the handling of Daniel Jones, who was a leader in that room and respected in that room, did that cause this? Did eliminating a leader the way it all went down kind of lead to 30-7 and the fact that this team looked completely not ready or unwilling to play football?
It subtracts the offensive captain. That's what it does. It subtracts the offensive captain. So who's doing it now? Is it Jermaine Illuminati?
I don't know.
Who's the captain?
I mean,
is it John Michael Schmitz? Is he a center? Is it Devin Singletary? All of these guys, by the way, have been there for less than a year.
Right, right.
Is it Malik Nabers? Oh, wait, he's a rookie. It's not him.
He's got a lot to say, though.
Right? Is it Wando Robinson? Oh, well, he just started playing last year. No. It's Jalen. No, he doesn't play at all. Who the hell is the captain of this offense right now?
Should be Darius Slayton.
Darius is a quiet kid. I love Darius. He's awesome. And I think he is one of those, I don't know, sage voices. I won't call him old voice because he's not old. But he's the longest tenured voice, but he's not If you know his personality, he's not like, hey, man, let's rally around. That's not him. Mm. Who is it? By nature, it's always the quarterback, but that's not Tommy DeVito. You know, Tommy DeVito's in his second year as an undrafted free agent from Illinois vis-a-vis Syracuse, right?
Man.
Who the hell is he?
So they have no leaders.
So
is that what we witnessed yesterday?
It felt like it. It felt like it was a rudderless ship for a lot of this game. And they come out in the second half, and it felt really good, man. It's like, all right, at least you got a drive together. And then for some reason, you decide to go Wildcat. Mm. Like, what are you doing? Mm. Just run it, man. But stop thinking.
But you know what? Even after that, and I understand it's 23-0, but even after the ball's put on the ground, the defense, which is supposed to be their strength right now,
gives up a 95-yard drive.
They went 95 yards. It really looked like a team that quit. And that sucks to say, man.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't imagine that professionals, young guys, veteran guys, guys making a lot of money, guys not making a lot of money. It's crazy to me that anybody would quit. But I think most of us, just regular football fans, which is what I am, I watched this and that's what I saw. That's what I felt. And it was the first time where I was like, wow, they tuned this head coach out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out the why. Why did they tune him out? Was it the handling of Daniel Jones? Was it the handling of other things we're not seeing? Was it where they are in the standings? Was it the messaging? What the hell was it that caused that?
Yeah.
Because that
right.
is...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The mess.
The only thing you can do is second guess how you go about this. And if I was Dabes,
mm-hmm.
I would have addressed the Daniel Jones thing immediately into the bye week.
100%. 100%. They lingered for a week, bro.
First day, second day. Tommy DeVito didn't know until Monday. He didn't know over the weekend.
Right.
He was down in Fort Lauderdale on over the weekend. Everybody was away. Tommy didn't know on Sunday. He found out on Monday when everybody else did. And so it's a shock to inject into your work week. You have a bye week, which is you have a do nothing week. Do it then. Do it the week where they had nothing to prepare for on Sunday.
Right.
Because now this becomes the talking point. This becomes what every media member wants. Let the media exhaust it when there's no game.
You're right.
Instead, they exhausted it while there was a game.
And then Daniel gets cut when? On Friday?
Friday.
Think about on Friday.
Yes.
They get the news that their beloved captain, say what you want about him as a player, but clearly he was loved in that locker room.
Yes,
you have
was.
To wait till the Friday of a weekend game where he gets cut.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree. See, there were two things went through my mind on the whole. How could they have done this better? Number one, you nailed it. Do it a week earlier. Here's the second one. We all knew Daniel Jones's contract. We all knew the injury guarantee. Back in August, we had the discussion. What if they're not good?
Mm-hmm.
What do they do with him? Are they going to bench him? We even had the discussion of would they bench him if they were in a race, in which you were like, no, they would never do that.
Nope.
Probably right. So I think back to that discussion and say, Should they have just replaced him before this season started? Should they have, and I'm not saying draft a quarterback you don't believe in. I'm not suggesting that. But maybe they should have said, you know what? He's not our long-term answer. We have this injury guarantee that is likely to affect our decision-making. Why not just nip this in the butt during the offseason and move on from him? Mm-hmm. Take our medicine. It'll be a big cap bill this year. And move the hell on and avoid this. Because this became a thing. Whether you like Daniel Jones or not, whether you guys out there like him or not, it doesn't even matter. That room liked him. And to me, it looked like that room was affected by the cloud of Daniel Jones, and they let that cloud linger way too long.
Yeah, no, it lingered into the game. And once it got into the game, it was over. And, I mean, hell, let's also give just for a second, the Buccaneers needed to play a great game.
Sure.
At the beginning of the season, we asked Mike Evans this, like, where do you guys feel you are right now? He said, 6 weeks ago, we thought we were one of the best teams in football. They beat the Philadelphia Eagles.
Mm.
They beat the Detroit Lions, right? They thought they were one of the best teams in football. Then they lose Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, maybe Chris Godwin for the year with a broken ankle, a dislocated ankle. Mike Evans luckily comes back because of the hamstring, and they've lost now 4 games in a row. But it's all still Aaron Boonham right in front of them. Seriously.
It's a Boonism.
Their game is their success. Their season is all literally right in front of them.
Yeah.
So my point is, this game was an absolute necessity for them. On the road against an underperforming Giants team, they had to come out and dominate and do exactly what they did. So for a second, give them credit.
Sure.
The Giants didn't match that in any capacity.
Anyway.
In any capacity at all. And it looked it from start almost to finish.
The look that I can't get out of my head, and I'm not telling you guys as Giant fans that you need to name the play or honor the play or remember the play for the rest of time. That's up to you as fans. Some of my Jet brethren will never forget the butt fumble. I choose to think, it was just a random play and a blowout to the Patriots. It doesn't matter. To me, you guys had a play like that yesterday that I'm still thinking about because it was so weird and it was so symbolic. Symbolic? Is that a word? Symbolic. We'll go with that. So symbolic of the way yesterday looked. The look of not caring, the look of quitting, the look of getting destroyed by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it was when Sean Tucker put the football on the ground on a 3rd and goal at the 1-yard line, mm-hmm. and the ball sat there. And no Giant did a damn thing. It just sat there. Until Baker Mayfield, of all people,
came out of nowhere,
put his body on the line, fell on that football, and it turned into a nice, easy 3 points to make it 10-0. That play could change the game. Now, I'm not saying the Giants are just going to drive 97 yards and score a touchdown, but you're about to force a red zone turnover. You know what those are? That's what the Giants do all the time. And as that ball sat there, I said to myself, man, I watch football every Sunday. How often have we ever seen a live ball sit there, just sitting there, to where I'm even screaming at the TV as an IFO, hey, pick it up, ball is loose, pick it up. And I know that play probably wasn't an effort thing, it was more a confusion thing.
Yeah.
You'd be better to describe that than me, but it just looked bad, and it fully described the football we saw yesterday.
Yeah, it really was. And it's not trying. It's just not being aware enough to do the little things right. And, I mean, this thing is kicking around. It hits Brian Burns' foot.
Yes!
And he doesn't react.
He doesn't even react. I don't know what the hell he's thinking. What did you just think hit your foot, Brian?
I don't know. Dexter Lawrence even. It's Dexter Lawrence. It's like right behind him. Not paying attention. It's just, I don't know. It was, and by the way, 7-0 at that point.
It's a game.
It can change the game.
That's why that's the play that, to me, symbolizes them in every nutshell. Like, it's right. Sitting right there. You have a chance to turn the game. And even though I agree with you, I don't think it was a lack of effort. It just looked bad. It's one of those things that looks worse than the reality of it. But the football's off Brian Burns' leg, and everyone's just standing there like, hey, what's going on?
Right.
And what are we doing?
And meanwhile, Baker Mayfield, who was hustling his ass off the entire game, that last run by Bucky Irving that was just stupid, cutting all the way across the field, and here comes Baker Mayfield 50 yards downfield making a block for him.
Yeah.
Right? That's want to. You can see want to. right? You can see who cares, who cared more about that game yesterday. And it was obvious. It was the Buccaneers. It's why they won 30-7. The Giants were distracted for whatever reason. Their minds weren't fully into it. The dial, like the little minutiae, the details that matter to winning and losing or playing well in a football game, because you can lose because you're not good enough. All those little details, they weren't there for the Giants. They were there for the Buccaneers.
Absolutely.
And it was glaringly obvious, the discrepancy between
and
the
that's why, fair or not, yesterday was the first step to this coach losing his job. I don't think he's a lock to lose his job. I disagree with the Giant fans who are going to call in today and say, fire him now or fire him after Thanksgiving. But what I would tell you is the same thing I've told you for weeks. If they don't win another game, they can write the script to how Brian Daboll will lose his job. Well, yesterday was chapter one, and it was a big chapter, and it was a damning chapter. And if things don't turn and we see performances like that, then I don't give a damn what John Mara said a few weeks ago. He's a dead man walking. That was a big chapter in the book of Daboll.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think the problem with yesterday coming off the bye week is the Daboll calling card is play close, Steeler-type losses, even the Cowboys earlier in the year. What happened yesterday was so unlike Brian Daboll teams, unless they're playing the Eagles, of course, where they are getting their ass kicked from the beginning on.
And let me give you a specific example of that. This is Joe Shane 12 days ago. The Giants had not played a game until yesterday after Joe Shane made these comments. This is what Joe Shane said about his head coach.
You know, again, he's done a really good job of the guys are competing, you know, keeping the locker room together. And again, we're in these games. We're in these games. We just got to find a way to finish it. You know, that's 1-5 in one score games.
Now, I didn't love hearing that 12 days ago, but you hear that now, and your answer is, well, that wasn't yesterday.
No, that was not a one score game.
That was not a one score game. The effort, the locker room. Look, I'm not in the locker room to know what's going on there, but the look of yesterday and then the comments coming out, which we'll play throughout this show, is not the sign of a strong locker room. It does not sound like everyone's on the same page. And that's concerning.
Yeah. The most important thing for me, because I can't pass judgment right now, because I feel like this week was a cluster. It was just so much going on, so much emotion. You guys heard me on Friday when I was talking about it. It was emotional after the Daniel Jones news that he was released. And not like a good for Daniel Jones. It was like something just left you. Just felt it from every person I talked to. And this isn't about Daniel Jones being good or bad. It's just the reality that he was not there anymore. He was your captain. He was a friend to a lot of these guys. And there was just this empty feeling about the facility. And so you're going to play a game 2 days later? The timing was so bad.
And that's where they screwed this
100%.
Up. 100%. All the way around.
The timing was horrendous. They should have made this decision and handled all of the, Daniel, what are you going to do? Okay, we'll release you in the bye week.
Yes.
Not in the game week.
And because it clearly affected them.
It 100% affected this team this week.
We'll get to your calls next, 888-808-1019. Now that we've criticized the Giants' lack of passion and the locker room and how dead they looked yesterday, let me do a little traditional criticism of head coach Brian Daboll. There were two play calls in particular that I take some issue with, Teak.
Go ahead.
Number one, Daboll goes for it on 4th-and-1 from his own 37 down 7-0. I love it. I freaking love it. That's some gall. That's some Daboll's, right? I'm all in favor of that. But to call like a sweep for Wandell Robinson?
You hated the call.
The call sucked. Am I wrong?
We said it in real time. We said it on the broadcast. I commend the call. What do you have to lose? You're 2-8.
Yes.
Who cares? Just try to go get a first down and give Tommy DeVito some more plays to see what he can do with the football and get some of these young stars involved. But a jet sweep that's an inside breaker, meaning it has to go inside, is really hard to do. Running parallel to the line of scrimmage and then getting north and south is damn near impossible.
And you need 1 yard.
You need 1 yard. Go downhill.
That's it.
Go straight downhill. And the same thing happened later. I'm sure the second call.
Oh, the second one is predictable, yes.
You're going to criticize.
The direct snap to Tyrone Tracy.
Don't overthink it. put Tommy DeVito under center or at quarterback in the shotgun, who cares? And hand the ball off and go downhill. It's first down on the 5-yard line. Hey, you don't need to be tricky. Just be good before you're tricky.
Right.
I think that's my biggest problem with it, is that I don't feel like the Giants are good enough to be tricky yet.
Right.
Do the fundamentals, the basics, really, really well. And then once you start doing that really, really well, people start going, oh, crap, we got to stop them. We know they're good at this. Then you trick them.
Right.
Like, you try to trick them before you've proven you can do it.
And then you end up tricking yourself.
Exactly.
You trick Tyrone Tracy.
Right. And I feel bad for the kid. I mean, it's a ball awareness thing going through contact and going to the ground. He lets his elbow get away from his body. And I said this on the broadcast. And as soon as you open that escape hatch, bad things are going to happen. I lived it.
Well, so I have a question for you in relation to this. When we were at Yankee Stadium during the World Series, and I forget which Yankee we had on, it may have been Tino.
We were talking
about, like, would you go and talk to a current Yankee and give him some advice?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's like, no, they kind of have to come to me. I don't want to overstep anybody's bounds. I kind of thought about you. Like, I've already heard Tyrone Tracy's a big Tiki Barber fan. Have you guys heard that? Like, huge Tiki fan.
We met in the offseason. I was over there for, I don't even think it was training camp. I think it was just there.
And wasn't he like in awe when he saw you?
No, he just wanted to say hello.
Yeah, so he was Tiki's being very modest now.
I was in the locker room. He came up to me and said hello.
Okay.
And obviously, it was because I'm a Giant football player and you know, leading rusher here. But it was also because of what I do now.
Oh, okay, that's true. Yeah.
Right? Part of his story. No. Part of his story is that there was a point in his career where he wasn't really good at doing this, right? He didn't know if he was going to be a wide receiver, if he was a running back. He kept getting switched back and forth. And so he had started to resolve in his mind that he was going to do something else, and he wanted to get into broadcasting and television or radio or whatever it may have been. And so that's what we talked about.
Interesting.
And so I told him, hey, whenever you have time in the off season, come on over. We'll take care of you.
He can intern here.
Why not? Do an unofficial intern. Hang out. Seriously. Learn this business.
No question.
Because it's the only way to get in it, especially non-traditionally. Because for him, it'll be non-traditionally.
Sure. Now, the question I have is, could you reach out to him and say, look, you're having a little bit of a fumbling issue. Let me help you. Or is that overstepping your bounds and they have to call you? How's that even work?
He would reach out if he knows. He has my number.
Mm.
I chatted with him after his first big game.
And he hasn't reached out yet?
In Seattle.
Let me give him some advice. He should reach out. Because I don't want to say he has a fumbling issue, but he has committed two really pivotal fumbles in the last two games the Giants have played. And I do feel bad for him, too. Like, I don't think any Giant fan hates Tyrone Tracy. I think every Giant fan wants Tyrone Tracy to be great.
Right.
I mean, poor Sean Morash is sitting there on Twitter arguing that he's better than Saquon Barkley. So you know that Sean wants him to be great. So I would hope that he gets this resolved, because even Brian Daboll took him out of the game yesterday.
As a aside, I think you're misstating what Sean is saying. Sean is basically saying, Tyrone Tracy is not as good as Saquon Barkley.
That's not what Sean is saying.
Is that they have a running back who is being as productive as Saquon Barkley was.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying.
Well,
right. At a great price.
He's also had two fumbles in the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
That I don't want to say have cost you the game. The first one definitely did.
Yep.
But yesterday was a momentum killer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There is no denying those fumbles had. I am not looking to do 4 hours of rehashing Saquon Barkley.
No.
My admins have done enough.
I'm not bringing up Saquon. What I'm saying is the Giants hear a lot of things. What I would advise the Giants to do is they should reach out to Tiki, because he's not going to overstep his bounds, but they should reach out so we can fix this freaking issue. Okay, you've been in this league. You've experienced this before.
I've been in this exact situation.
Yes, and you conquered it.
Right. And didn't we all think about Tiki yesterday when the camera shot to Daboll talking to Tracy and Tracy showing him the old Tiki holding the ball
well,
up?
All I could think about was that conversation we had. I'm not sure if it was Tino or a Yankee saying, I'd love to help, but it's not my place.
By the way, I thought
and
that was A-Rod on Judge.
I think it was A-Rod.
You're right, it was A-Rod. I apologize. It was A-Rod.
It was definitely A-Rod, because he had been in the exact situation of not performing in the postseason.
That's what it was,
right.
Could you reach out to him? And Alex is like, I can't do that. If he wants to reach out to me, he could call anytime. So I was thinking that. So someone with the Giants, because Tyrone Tracy is a good kid. He's already talked to you about media. He should reach out, because that's the one thing that's holding him back right now. He's been great as a rookie, but he's had two huge fumbles in the last 2 weeks. the Carolina game, obviously, in Germany, which it literally cost them the game, and obviously that opening drive of the second half on a direct snap. You didn't like that call either, Sean.
I hated the call. Right. If you're going to hand it to Tracy, hand it to Tracy. I hated both of those calls, and that's where I'm upset with Dable tonight.
Let's go to Alex in Staten Island. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. You know, obviously yesterday was just absolutely disgusting to watch. And I'm one of those Giant fans that I'm kind of, you know, tired of the musical chairs with GMs and head coaches. And I would love to think that Dable and Shane, you know, me personally, I would give them another crack at it. But with just the energy and the rumblings that have been going on with players in the back, I mean, is it safe to say that, you know, for me personally, it's not a question of who's checked out. It's how many players have checked out of the, you know, it's just that's the energy that I'm getting from this team.
Yeah.
And I can't think of anything more damning for a coach than to have his guys just, you know, hey, I'm checking out. I'm done.
Right.
And, you know,
Alex, I think you're right on the, right page. Your idea, what you're worried about is valid. Right? Are the guys not listening? Are they checked out?
It looked that way.
And so prior to this week, the stove wasn't even on. I know people wanted to scream and yell and on this station and elsewhere, fire this regime, get rid of Dabes, get rid of Doshane. The stove was not on. Yet what yesterday did was you turned the stove on.
100%.
Right? It's not hot.
Right.
But the stove is turned on
100%
right now.
When we talked about it, that's kind of how I visioned it, which is he's not being fired today, but you can see where this could go bad.
Right.
Yesterday was an example of it going bad.
Yeah. I mean, this is honestly his most important week. So, again, I'm not excusing it, but I'm understanding the turmoil that happened emotionally over the last 10 days. And should they have handled it differently? Yes. Do it on Tuesday after the bye week.
Yes.
After the Carolina game, after the London game, Tuesday of that week, and then deal with it all during the week. Guys aren't going to be around. Hey, we need to talk to Tommy DeVito. Sorry, he's in Florida. Hey, we need to talk to Shane. Sorry, he talked on Tuesday. Right? Like, let it all get dumped on a week where nothing is going on.
Yeah.
To let all that transpire right before a game is so distracting. Like, when your mind isn't on football, when it's not on my game plan on how I beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's on, man, I feel for Daniel. It sucks, man. He's on my quarterback number one. And they were all saying it. Like, you heard it.
No, it's right to a T, yeah.
Paul Schwartz and the beat writers weren't asking Dexter Lawrence, tell me what you think about whatever the center, I forget the kid's name, who's at center. He's a rookie for Tampa Bay. Tell me how you're going to beat that kid, right? What do you think about Luke Getege? What do you think about Cody Mauch? Tell me about those. That's not what they were asking them.
Right.
They were asking them about Daniel Jones.
They should have taken
on a Wednesday and a Thursday. This is what the conversation was. It wasn't football.
No, they should have taken advantage of the bye week, like you
100%.
Said. And instead, when Joe Shane met the media and when Brian Dable met the media day earlier, they said, well, we're evaluating everything.
Well, they knew what they were doing.
But the problem was they were being too slick for school.
Right. And why?
Right? I don't know. You knew it was going to happen.
Of course.
I knew it was going to happen. You knew. Sean knew. Loogie knew. Every Giant fan in America knew what was going to happen. Don't be slick and try to just be cool. Hey, man, we're playing it cool. We're not going to tell you what we're doing. Just do it, right? We all know it's coming. I predicted it on Monday.
It was telegraphed.
And so to push it into the game week is an egregious mistake. Egregious mistake. That's the one thing to me that makes you say, do you know what the hell you're doing?
Mm.
Like, seriously, like, forget about yourself. Forget about how you're going to be evaluated, how people are going to think about you, Joe Shane or Brian Dable. Forget about, like, the emotion you're going to absorb because of this. This isn't about you. There are 53 guys that have to play a football game. That's going to evaluate you more than what you do from a business decision. You got to make a business decision. Make it, right? Don't push it into the week where the guys are going to get so distracted they can't focus on football. That's what annoys me about this.
You're right.
Because it didn't have to be handled this way. And this isn't about Daniel Jones. This isn't about, you know, sticking up for him and why. Yeah, he was done, right? I was done with him a week ago.
No,
we talked about it. Some people were done with him
5 months ago. Some people were done with him a year ago.
Right.
This was an inevitability. But that way that you handled it in a game week was just bad. Like, poorly executed, and it affected what happened on Sunday afternoon at MetLife Stadium.
Very well said. Completely agree with you. Diego's in East Meadow. What's up, Diego?
Hey, Tiki, that's the thing. Everything this coach and GM do is horrible. And I'm going to give you the words of Bob Papa during the broadcast, because that's what they did. They broke Bob and Carl. Fundamentally flawed team on every level. Coming off a bye week in year three of this coach, that cannot happen. And if you allow them to continue and pick a quarterback, it's only going to get worse. Like, yesterday was it. We have to move on.
I mean, I'm not there. I appreciate your emotion, Diego. I'm not there. Like, I can tell, I can call you out on your mistake, but also still believe in you. Because I believe in Dabbs. I think he's a really good coach. I know he's a really good coach. He was coach of the year for a reason. The years, because he talks about all the time, he's been in the game for a long time. His resume precedes him. Like, the success that he's had along the way is profound. He became a head coach in this league for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
What he did with this Giants team in 2022 was not, it was so beyond the expectation of what anybody had for this team. You can't not give him credit for it, right? And that was 2 short years ago.
Yeah.
So I still believe in Brian Daboll, but I, like, the mistake of this week was bad, because coming off of a Daniel Jones, let's inject this Tommy DeVito energy, spark, whatever you want to call it, back into this team, it could have worked. But the way they executed it was so bad.
Yeah, the reason why I disagree with Diego on making that decision today or in this moment, mm-hmm, or this week, is there are 6 games left in this season.
100%
And look, the season's over, but the season was over a week ago. Mm-hmm. Right, we all know that. The Giants aren't making the playoffs 2 weeks ago. They're not making the playoffs now. If somehow, and I'm not confident of what I'm about to say, but if somehow we start to see effort from this team, we start to see this team finish strong, we start to see this team fight and claw and not miss a million tackles and not let a football hit your foot as it rolls around, and they finish strong, then I do think there's a possibility you can go into this offseason saying, I do want to keep this head coach.
Because they have pieces that are exciting like that. Dexy's the man.
But
he's the man.
But here's the warning sign. The warning sign is, if that crap continues, he's done.
But I can't predict that that's going to happen.
I can't predict it either, but I don't feel good that it's going to change either. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Evan, here's the problem with what you're saying.
Good.
Last week was an anomaly. And look, unfortunately, it was created by management, by Dabbs and Shane. The way they handled this, it created the anomaly that was last week on the football field. That's not how they play every week. They're not good enough to win some of these games. Like, they stop you if they give up 2 yards of carry, and then all of a sudden they give up a 25-yard run. They stop you, they keep you in check, and all of a sudden they give up a 40-yard pass, right? Like, this team is good. Offensively, they do really good things. You get this shot, you get this, you know, 5-yard completion, you get this 8-yard completion, then you throw an interception in the red zone, right? Like, it's all of these really good things put together, and then there's this one mistake.
Right.
Yesterday was just mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. They clearly were not dialed in like they normally are dialed in.
Well, they better prove
that. This is not like, are you good enough to win? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what the tape looks like, and are you dialed in that you're focusing on every little thing? They weren't this week.
Well, they've got to prove that they can do that again.
But this was created by the circumstance, the situation, the mishandling of the Daniel Jones benching and then release. Like, This was an organizational failure of the team. This isn't a team failure of the organization. You understand the difference, mm-hmm, right? That's what happened this week. So what I'm expecting from Dexter Lawrence, from Kayvon Thibodeau, from Brian Burns, from all the young kids on the offensive side of the ball, from Tyrone Tracy to get this thing cleaned up with the fumbling, from Malik Nabers to get his head right and to start focusing on being a leader as opposed to being an arsonist in that locker room, from all of these other guys finding ways to galvanize around Tommy DeVito and put a good product on the field. Like, I expect that that's going to happen. Now, if it doesn't, that's when we start, all right, let's put this thing to medium now. It's off a simmer. Let's put this thing to a little bit to medium, or maybe low. right? And then if it continues, then you start clicking it up to hot, right? But right now, they have to, like, flush this nonsense, because this was a nonsense week. Self-created nonsense week. They have to get rid of it and then get back to what they were the weeks before, where if you're going to lose a game, lose a one-score game. Because it's cause just because you're not good enough. Or find a way to win those games by not making the mistake in the critical moment.
Tom is calling from Freehold. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey, what's up, Evan Tiki? Couple things here. Don't hang up on me too quick. I just wanted to talk about more of the things what Tiki was referencing on the captain piece before. And Tiki, with all due respect, I've watched you my you know, your whole career as a young, you know, teenager wanting to play the sport. You were the guy, so... I know you have the professionalism and the knowledge of it, but I just don't see Daniel Jones. I know I'm not in the locker room, but on the field, I don't know how you would want to follow someone like that who has not made any improvements, no adjustments. I don't see any fire, and that may not be his personality, but, I mean, you're in New York, man. It's been 5-6 years now. You got to change. You got to make a change. I got to understand where you can have that perception of him being a total leader and captain.
Well, he is the captain, first of all.
Because he was voted on it by his teammates.
Right. So that's where it comes from, as simple as that.
Understood.
Secondly, he works his ass off. So the problem is he's not good enough, right? So Daniel Jones is the first one there. He's the hardest worker. He lifts like a maniac. He runs. He works out like runs like a maniac as fast as any of these guys. He studies his ass off. He is the example that you want to be your captain. But Tom, he's just not good enough. You know what I mean? So it's one thing to put it all in and not be good enough. Guys are still going to respect you, but ultimately, it's like when the product doesn't produce, it becomes hard to stay behind him. You know what I mean? So, I don't think the players weren't behind him. I just think they had maybe lost some faith in him, if that makes
sense.
Yeah, it
does make sense. And I just wanted to make a small other point. It's like how I look at it is like if I'm going into work and I know that guy next to me who's, you know, my collaborative person and my counterpart, and he's not holding his weight and doing his job, I'm going to lose motivation for
right.
it. So
right.
I can totally understand that piece. But I just want to also mention one thing about you got to keep Dable. I don't know about Joe Shane. I don't know if that's a package duo,
right.
But I think as a general manager, Joe Shane, the decisions he made in the offseason, even reverting back to last season, not trading Saquon and trying to getting something out of him, if you kind of had in the back of your head 65%, I knew I'm trading Saquon this offseason, you got to get
but
something
Tom,
out
of him. But Tom, even I've been convinced of this. It took me a year, but now I'm convinced of this.
Mm-hmm.
If the Giant locker room's response to how quick this was and Daniel Jones not being the quarterback anymore, being benched and being cut, was this kind of performance, what the hell do you think would have happened if they traded Saquon Barkley for a fourth-round pick?
Right.
And you warned us of that a year ago.
They did.
And I'm a very, you know, matter-of-fact guy. Well, who cares? Basically, it's like, oh, well, what the hell do
yeah,
I care?
Somebody
just get me
void.
Picks.
Who?
Right. But it's clearly the evidence of what we saw yesterday.
Exactly.
Is it would have been a bleep show where, I'll take this a step further. If the Giants had quit last year after a Saquon Barkley trade, Dable may have been fired after last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's the one thing, ask Joe Judge, what's the one thing that can cost you your job even after a good first year? If the room stops listening to you.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you take leaders out of it, you can see what happens.
That is the biggest indictment and downmarking on Joe Shane, though. And I've been defending him. I want him back. But there is no way in hell in Thanksgiving week 2024 that after 3 years of a general manager, Daniel Jones should be on that great guy, that kind of pedestal, that it leaves that kind of absence of leadership and void. There is not enough talented players added over the last 3 hours or 3 years. Apparently, that could fill those leadership voids. We're leaning on Dexter Lawrence, still a Gettleman guy. Not enough leaders have been added to the room. There's no way Daniel Jones should be on that high a pedestal that it leaves that kind of void in the locker room.
But you got to follow the bouncing ball back even further. Remember Kayvon at the end of last year where he said Saquon should have got paid, not Daniel Jones?
Mm-hmm.
The locker room's already upset that DJ got the bag over Saquon. Now, we don't have either guy. McKinney's balling in Green Bay, so you already have a divided locker room. People people are ticked off and they're not happy with what Shane has created here.
Yeah,
that's
McKinney
just my
was
thought.
Trying to talk himself out of here all the way, so he didn't want to be here.
Sure, but Kayvon saying that about Saquon Teak was pretty damning.
I hear you. No, you're right. You're right. But I think everybody felt that way. But this was that was more of a what you had to do. I don't want. It's not worth relitigating the whole who do you pay thing. But not having a leader is hard.
I think we could relitigate a lot of things over the last 8 years in Giant history, going back to taking Saquon Barkley 2 overall. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I thought about relitigating was you brought up the great point very passionately that they should have made this Jones decision a week earlier at the beginning of the bye week. I completely agree with you. The only other thing I'm thinking about relitigating is just not having Daniel Jones on this team this year. Because if you know inevitably,
right,
this is going to come down to an injury guarantee, and we're going to have to make a business decision that nobody in the locker room is going to, they understand it, but they don't understand it. Because at the end of the day, you're trying to win. You're not thinking about injury guarantees in 2025. Then maybe it wasn't worth it. Maybe the Giants were better off taking a flyer on a young quarterback and just saying, you know what, we know he isn't the answer, so why bring him back and even create this possibility?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the the cap hit would have been the cap hit.
Right, the same hit they're taking right now. Take your medicine and move on.
It just is what it is. Don't even worry about thinking about it. Because you know you're going to have to face it. You're facing it regardless.
If you know the guy isn't the answer, and I'd love to get the truth serum out on Brian Daboll, who's worked with him, and said, Coach, between the injuries, even the lack of performance, sure, the offensive line had a lot to do with it, is he the answer? And if you know the answer is no, and clearly they knew the answer was no, because what did they spend the entire offseason trying to do?
Replace him.
So why bother bringing him back? Because you knew this could happen. You called it in hookish, Sean. Yeah. You talked about it. Hey, what about the injury guarantee? Like, we knew this was the boogeyman hanging all over us.
And this is what it looks like. And I'll go a step further. I know we're going to talk about this in a couple minutes. If you're not going to take a quarterback, whether that's Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, because you want to sit there and take the best player available, here's a thought. Use the best player in the first halves of games and let him get involved and not be upset after games either. Otherwise, if that's the way it's going to be, you might as well take a flyer on the quarterback.
Well, speaking of said rookie, Malik Nabers had to say a lot after the game. We'll take a listen and we'll analyze. Tiki usually is very hard on rookies. In fact, he was once quoted as saying,
rookies suck. Rookies are dumb. I hate rookies.
That was it. Not necessarily about Malik.
Was that bad, Tiki?
That was you.
Oh, bad. Making sure.
That was mad,
Just
Tiki.
Making sure. Just making sure.
That was Tiki from Yankee Stadium during the World Series.
No, 5.5 hours a day. That's what that was.